Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. On the line with us today is a new guest to the program, John Proust. He's the chairman and CEO of Southern Arc Minerals, which is traded on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol SA. John's coming to us from New York City today. John, welcome to the program.
Colin, thanks very much for having me.
I know you've got a busy schedule. In fact, you were just flying back yesterday from Japan. Of course, you're involved very heavily in Japan Gold, which is a company that many of our listeners may know about and have heard about. It's the first company that has really gotten exploration tenements in Japan as they've opened up, and that's something we'll discuss in the interview here. John, the first thing I want to do is get a little bit about your background that you've had in the resource space. You've been in the space for some time. I just want to understand what brought you into the space and some of your past successes that you've had.
Well, thanks, Colin. I always hate to date myself, but I've been involved in the Canadian capital markets for 31 years now. It's an exciting place to be, and it's been an incredible journey. We've been very involved in the resource space, both on the mining and on the oil and gas space, but specifically sticking with the mining or mineral exploration space. To date, we have formed what I'll call an investment bank, which is Southern Arc Minerals, Inc. And that company is looking at, has very specific targets. It's looking for high-grade gold in safe political jurisdictions that are receptive to foreign investment or investment, and where our group can really add value to the companies that we invest in to really make their projects a success. In the past, with Southern Arc, your listeners may be familiar with a company called Osisko. Osisko Mining is a company that we were, I'd say, sort of early founders of. We were in control with Ned Goodman of Eagle Hill Resources, which was the Windfall Lake discovery, which is the primary asset of the current Osisko. And I acted as chairman and CEO through that process when we took the project and did the initial preliminary economic assessment. So very pleased to see that project get significant legs, and under the guidance of Sean Roos and John Brzezinski at Osisko, really advance into the company that it has become now, and a whole gold camp that it's become. So very pleased to be associated with that. Certainly, Japan, thanks for mentioning that. We're quite passionate about Japan and being the first mover into Japan on the change of the mining law in 2012. We were fortunate to be first movers there and to be able to evaluate the whole country. And through that effort, we managed to apply for and receive and reserve 17 major projects throughout Japan, from the northern island of Hokkaido right through to the southern island of Kyushu. And this is with a backdrop of a fairly recent, significant gold discovery there of one of the richest gold mines in the world, the Hishikari gold mine that was discovered in 1981 and that went into production in 1985, with a resource of 8.4 million ounces at an astounding grade of 47.3 grams per ton. So we'd love to replicate that, and we think we've got the goods there. There were 76 mines, gold mines in Japan that were closed through the Second World War by the government. Only 12 of them reopened after the war. And under our 17 projects, we have 40 of the remaining high-grade underground gold mines that were closed in 1943 and never reopened. So we're very pleased about that. We're also active investors in Tethyan Resources. Tethyan's a company that is quite focused on the Balkans and specifically Serbia, and has two specific directions that it's active in. One is in a porphyry discovery that it's made on its Suvaruta license. And the second one is the consolidation of a historic lead zinc region that could be a very, very promising camp that will be revived there as well. So very pleased to be part of that. Certainly, I can go back a ways, and there's been a number of other historic successes, but that's probably enough for today's interview.
Absolutely. Well, John, many of the most prolific discoveries are made in jurisdictions where mining has not been available to outside investment dollar, or just venturing into jurisdictions where other people have not been willing to take the risk beforehand. Japan, as many people know, is a xenophobic society in many ways, but as you pointed out, a lot of the mining was shut down because of the war, and now it's being opened back up. And before we were on the call, before we hit record on the interview, we were just discussing some of the investment theses that play into Southern Arc in terms of how you guys decide to invest, jurisdictionally speaking. You've touched on a bit of that, but Japan has many analogies to other jurisdictions. What is it that you guys are looking for when you enter into an area that other groups have not necessarily went into in the recent past?
Well, certainly, Colin, we like to be contrarians, or at the very least, we like to do our homework incredibly well so that we can be the first movers into certain areas. The similarities between Rise Gold and Japan are, of course, striking because both are based on historic mines that were effectively closed in 1942, in Rise's case with the Idaho Maryland mine, and 1943 with Japan's shutdown. It's incredible to think that these opportunities exist in a time now when we have technology, which is one of our focuses, is bringing new and the most advanced technology to the fore to really evaluate these opportunities and advance them. So technology is a big one, but also to draw on some great talent that we've been fortunate enough to attract. That has a wonderful history of discovering high-grade underground gold mines, putting them into production, and building successful large open-pit mines as well. So we've really tried to put the right teams together to embrace technology, to try and find opportunities that may have been sort of lost in over time, and really look at a way to bring those back into recognition and into significant new discoveries.
Rise Resources is a company that many of our listeners are probably familiar with because we've put out through Palisade Research a piece just in the last couple weeks talking about the company. They're obviously advancing quickly at this point, and part of that is due to Southern Arc's commitment investing in them to the tune of $2 million in the last financing. Rise has a prolific past producing mine that's located in California, and in many ways California can be listed as analogous to Japan in that when people hear the word California next to mining, they can be a bit concerned, and there lies the opportunity. Can you talk to California as a jurisdiction and where Rise exists within that?
Absolutely. First of all, our investment in Rise Gold was based on the fact that we thought there was an outstanding management team under the leadership of Ben Mossman, the CEO, who really had done his homework on the history of that mine and under the on the opportunities that would be possible. Thorough due diligence was done by our group. That consisted of a detailed review of the geology, mining review by mining engineers to really get a sense of the opportunity and the scale. Our dollars were really designed to do two things. One is that we really like the fact that while the company had already acquired the mineral rights to 2,800 acres, that it was really thinking practically about acquiring the surface rights. So our dollars went towards acquiring and finalizing the purchase of the 175 acres of surface rights, which is so important to really expedite the permitting process and to really give you control of your project. In addition to that, our dollars were earmarked for the current drilling program, which I think is really important in terms of now starting to look at those historic ounces that may still be developed and in the ground, but also to look beneath where the mine had gone, and to look for extensions and continuity in the ore body. So that was very important. To your question of California, you're absolutely right. A lot of people raise their eyebrows when you say California, and they're immediately thinking of NGOs or environmental activists or something like that. But again, our view basically came up with something that I thought was quite compelling, that the county that the asset that the Idaho Maryland mine is in, Nevada County, California, is a very pro-mining county. Not that long ago, there was an open pit mine just some few miles away from the Idaho Maryland mine that was actually put into production. There's been such a legacy of production and the history of mining in that community that it really sort of overwhelms those other factors. So that's been something that we've really keyed in on, and we were really, really pleased about. The mine and the opportunity itself, when we look historically at the birthplace of Newmont, as the the home of several prolific high grade underground mines, just seemed like the right setting to us. And so Grass Valley and Nevada County, I think, are very unique as it relates to California, and might be quite surprising to the investor that has maybe looked into it as thoroughly as we have.
For listeners not aware, RISE is listed on the CSE exchange under the ticker RISE, RISE. And John, when looking at the scope, for those not familiar, we're talking about a mine that represented the second largest mine prior to its closure around World War II. What's the scope of what the modern company led by Ben, what are they looking for investors and for building a mine and reopening a mine in terms of what's there today?
Well, the historic statistics are the production of approximately 2.4 million ounces of gold, an average grade of 17 grams per ton, which is a great high-grade number. So grade, very important in mining, and especially in underground mining. This is something that's going to be developed in stages. So the current drilling program that's on right now is one that, as I mentioned earlier, is important because it's going to demonstrate some historic ounces. I think it should look for further extensions, et cetera, et cetera. So those are important pieces, but it's also the precursor to give us the direction and intelligence to look at dewatering the mine, so that then the drills can go underground and really do significant resource definition to start to prove up a resource or a reserve. Now, as to the numbers, certainly I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't speak to what the ultimate goal is, because no one really knows yet. But there's certainly no geologic reason why the ore body, the prolific producing ore body that has been produced, shouldn't extend to great depths and continue to provide significant ounces at significant grade. In terms of how many ounces one needs to actually reopen a mine and put it back into production, I'll leave that to the technical group and the internal analysts to try and work that out as they advance this project. But it's really one which is an exciting story to come along with, because virtually weekly or monthly, it appears to me that there's going to be good news flow and strong advancement of the project that are really going to be quite compelling. It's like a piece of history that's now in your hands, and that we feel like we just own a part of that history, and we're just thrilled to see how it's going to turn out.
John, we've touched on your investment thesis and then your focus companies, including Japan Gold and RISE. I want to ask you about the market conditions at this point. You've been through more than one cycle. Everybody who's listening to this knows that the gold market and the resource market are extremely cyclical. Of course, you can defy the cycles by having a major discovery or something that makes sense in any market condition, but it helps to be in a market where prices are going up and capital is accessible. How do you feel about the market that we're in right now, seeing that we entered a bull market in 2016, but have been in a flat to kind of downward pattern for the last 2 years?
Well, look, and it's a great question to ask me because I'm here in New York. I'm at a conference here where we've had some of the brighter minds in the gold space speaking today, and I've been interacting with them throughout the day. I'm a gold bull, so I can't help but say that first off. My view is that there's a number of sort of macroeconomic trends and certain conditions that exist now that are bullish for an upturn in the price of gold. And I think we're going to see those over the next short while. So I think this year we're going to see a real turn up in terms of the price of gold. Having said that, as most of your listeners may know, grade is a very important factor in the hedge, because I'm not unhappy with the price of gold where it is now, and certainly the kind of grades that Rise Gold is targeting are grades that would be completely worthy and economic at the current price level and very profitable potentially. So I'm a bull on the gold side of things. I expect to see strength this year, and there's a number of factors that are pointing towards that. But I'm a realist, and I'm always looking at things where they are now, so that my conservative side says, well, if it's good now, it's only going to be spectacular if there's an increase. So that's the way I'm looking at it currently.
John, before we let you go here, is there anything else to add in terms of thoughts on just ways to invest or where the market's going? And also, if anybody's interested in getting in touch or investing behind you, just ways to get in touch or how they can do that?
We're in a cycle now where now is the perfect time to start accumulating positions. There's a lot of companies out there that have been beaten up. There's some very valuable assets that are available, but I think you've got to be selective. For me, you've got to be really selective in terms of finding safe political jurisdictions. So I'm such a strong proponent of that. They've got to be safe political jurisdictions. You've got to look at management teams that have actually built companies in the past and that have that ability to repeat that again now. And you've got to look at companies that are putting significant dollars into the ground in a timely way to make that happen. Certainly with Rise, we're very happy with the way they're turning our capital over right away. The drilling program started very quickly after the recent financing, and results should be coming fairly soon. So we love that kind of speed and pace, because that's great for us as investors. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about our other investee companies. Certainly Japan Gold is very, very much top of mind right now. It's in a very interesting position because Japan Gold has a small market cap today of under $15 million because the company has really not, and I'm certainly will take this one myself personally, but the company has really not gone out and told the story in any big way, because we were fearful that competitors would try and rush into Japan and try and acquire some of the key assets that we were after. So we weren't prepared to talk to anybody until we were successful in building the portfolio that we wanted to build, and that's what we've done now. So now we're going out to tell the world about it, that Japan's open for business, and Japan Gold's the first mover there. So we think there's a real value opportunity here. All of our investment, we put in $12 million into the company so far, has gone in at 40 cents a share. And this is a company that's trading around 20 cents a share, in part because of the lack of news over the last while, which is now going to change dramatically. And in part because we own such a large stake that we're not allowed to buy in the open market because it's deemed under the Canadian regulatory system to be a takeover bid. So investors have quite a unique opportunity now to step into Japan Gold and pick up a stake cheaper than where we've put our money in advance of potential joint venture completions, of which we're well into the process, and in advance of the drilling program this year, which I think should yield some really great results. So very big proponent of Japan Gold and would really suggest that. Certainly Tethyan Resources is a company that one should look at. It's active in Serbia, which is a country that's really come onto the stage with Dundee Resources, Nevsun, other companies that are active in the area and big discoveries they've made there. And what I like about Tethyan is that it's under the leadership of a new young CEO. We've restructured the company and brought it to the TSX Venture Exchange from the London AIM market. And it's got that two-pronged focus of a porphyry discovery and a consolidation of a lead zinc district. So there's two great opportunities there. And again, a very undervalued company as well. So those are my two suggestions for today. And I appreciate you taking the time to allow me to comment on those.
John, thank you so much for coming on Palisade Radio and addressing our listeners.
Colin, my pleasure. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw materials. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?